We'll be right back. And good morning. Wake up, everybody. You know, I know everybody's woke that's on the line, and I want to, you know, say good morning to each and every one of you. And start out by saying music is like poetry and has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definition. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, each and every one of you can pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our quest moment when we attempt to make waves, indeed, especially this morning, vibration. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, I want to start out by saying the Best Youth Radio invites each and every one of the listenership audience to listen and, you know, check us out, West Youth Radio, for another episode featuring Studio Notes, Justin Hill, Riel Claire, our What's Happening for Us segment featuring Kaya Diaz, and she'll inform and incite you to attend and entertain yourselves with upcoming events. And that being said, I hand it over to our student host and today's moderator, Justin Hill. Justin, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. And, Riel, would you like to say good morning?
Yes, thank you, Justin. Okay. Good morning, everyone, and this is Riel Claire.
Kaya, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Is Mr. Harris on the call?
Yes, I am, and good morning to everyone.
Good morning, Ms. Gardner.
Good morning, everybody.
And coming up, I will be doing my first segment of Diamond, which is on Dr. John Henry Clark.
Much time with you always on my mind, my brother. I just can't explain, the energy is off the chain between us.
And we're back. You know, I remember one day I actually disconnected completely from the show. And it was, you know, thanks to the panelists and the team members that kept it going so I could really get back in there.
Right.
And I played this particular song, Energy, just to reflect that, you know, there's a team here of people, positive energy. So with that being said, Justin, are you ready for your first segment?
Yes.
Take it away.
My first number segment is on John Henry Clark. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, you are bound to find yourself. And John Henry Clark was born on New Year's Day, 1915. He was born in Union Springs, Alabama, into a family that came from a long line of sharecroppers. He was a black historian, writer, and educator. As a young man, Clark taught the junior Bible class at a local Baptist church. Clark started the research that took him to libraries, museums, archives, and collections in Asia, the Caribbean, Europe, Latin America, and Africa. He gathered his findings into books on such figures as the early 20th century mass movement and he brought his findings to life in discussions with black audiences hungry for history so long lost, stolen, or strange. While he was teaching at Hunter College in New York and at Cornell University in the 1980s, Clark's lesson plans became well known for their attention to detail. They are so packed with references and details that the Schomburg Library and home asked for copies. In 1985, the year of his retirement, the newest branch of the Cornell University Library was named the John Henry Clark African Library. Though he was totally blind towards the end, he still managed to lecture and write books. Dr. John Henry Clark died July 16th, 1998, in New York City. And that is it for my first segment of Diamond, and I thank God for listening.
Okay, so you want to invite anyone to join in on the discussion?
Mr. Harris, do you know anything about John Henry Clark?
Yes, actually. I've been following a lot of the things that he's been writing most of my life, actually. And my perspective of him is that he was a real, like you were saying in your dissertation, that he was a real stickler for detail, you know, and he would go to different places and, you know, see, some people just read other people's information and then incorporate that into their conversation, you know, but he would go to these particular places and find out for sure, you know, because sometimes things get lost in translation. And, you know, one of the things that I liked about him the most is that he said history was not about just finding out how great we were in the past. He was really talking about where we can find our mistakes that we made in the past to put us in our condition today so that we can not fall for that same trap again. So there was a double-edged sword with history to him. And he was a great educator, And, you know, I know I say this a lot, but he was one of my favorite, one of my favorite people. I wish I'd have got to know him.
Thank you. And Miss Gardner, have you ever heard of John Clark?
Yes, I have heard of him. And I think it's very powerful that he had the tenacity and the willpower to keep going on, even though he ended up blind. And I think that says a lot about his character and a lot that we can take from him for our own, to know no matter what we go through, you always got to persevere and push through.
Thank you. And I'm going to go to Kaya. And my question is, have you ever heard of John Clark? And if you haven't, what did you learn from the information that I told y'all?
Yeah, I have heard of him, and the some important information that you mentioned that I kind of got from it was that Henry Clark, he was a creator and a pioneer, and just like Mr. Harrison, I think his name was, I'm sorry if I said it wrong, but he viewed history, in my opinion, he viewed history as a compass, you know, not only to tell African-Americans where, like, they are in history, but where they must be, you know, in the future. And I feel like that message, sorry, that was my cat. And I feel like this message is important for all of us to know now, because, you know, history, it may be in the past, but, you know, we can change our future for us, you know, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And I'm going to also go to Brielle. And have you ever, I'm going to give you the same question. Have you ever heard of John Hunter Clark? And if you haven't, what is some information that I mentioned that you learned?
So
go ahead, Brielle.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to Mr. Bay and tell us what did you learn about John Hunter Clark?
I'm gonna start by saying I've actually had an opportunity to meet him. Well, not meet him, but I've actually had a opportunity to hear him speak live. I didn't get the opportunity to meet him. And he actually came to Newark, and he came to Newark more than one time. And, you know, he was really animate about Black people doing something for themselves, to create something, to have their own economic base, businesses, manufacturing, and his whole emphasis was for us to stop depending on others and stop being consumers, come creators, and tap into the original blueprint that makes our history so great. But when we find ourselves being really needy upon other people, then you end up in the situation that we're in. And one of the things that John Henry Clark said, you know, the African American has no friends, okay? And, that's a whole nother discussion that can go down the line. But I've always referred to him as noted African American historian, Mr. John Henry Clark. The fact that they named a facility at Cornell University, they named it after him in honor of him, says a lot, right? And so that being said, I hand it back over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And now we are going to go back to music, and we will be back with Brielle's next segment.
We'll be right back.
Okay, we're back. Brielle, please take it away.
Good morning, everybody, and this is Brielle, and I am on with my first Diamond segment today, which is on Joy DeGruy. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. So first, I would like to start off on what was significant about her. So what's significant about her was how she was able to become an author, academic, and researcher, and is best known for her book on post-traumatic slave syndrome. Although when she was younger, way before, she grew up in Los Angeles and graduated Crenshaw High School with a bachelor's degree in science and two master's degrees in social work and clinical physiology. Later, she employed in the new theory of post-traumatic slave syndrome, which became the subject of her book. Shortly after her book was published, she was in an interview for Essence magazine, and she summarizes her theory on post-traumatic slave syndrome as a trauma that can affect multiple generations. Although the New Republicans described her theory as overthinking, others defended her work and was inspired. Many people had their own perspective on her theory. She spoke in many places about this, like United Nations, Oxford University, and many more. Dr. DeGruy received a grant from MacArthur in 2021 to further her healing. Still today, she conducts workshops and trainings in the medical health area. And again, I would like to say what's significant about her. So what's significant about her is how she was able to become an author, academic, and researcher, and is best known for her book on post-traumatic slave syndrome. Again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my segment on Joy DeGruy. So I would like to say, Justin, would you like to comment?
Okay, what we're going to do is I'm going to have Mr. Harris make a comment, all right? And Mr. Harris, take it away.
Yeah, Joy DeGruy. She was very instrumental in at least trying to make it clear about the reasons why in our community we go through so many seems like crazy things, and it's like it's almost like we don't understand why we're doing it. But in her book, Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, she kind of chronicles that just like if you were in the war, like say you was in the war, they got this thing called post-traumatic shock syndrome, where a lot of traumatic things happen around you and you just, it drives you crazy. And, you know, but when those soldiers got to come home, they got some kind of treatment for that, you know, and their trauma was only a couple of years at the most. Just imagine having those same kind of traumatic experiences and over the course of hundreds of years. And then when they said, okay, all right, well, you're not a slave anymore. We didn't get any kind of treatment or like say, okay, all right, we understand you've been through a lot of stuff, you know. So she really kind of made or really chronicled the different ways on how we go through stuff. And it's based on what we went through years ago. And it's important that we understand that we're not a dysfunctional community just by choice. A lot of this stuff's come from being subjected to different crazy things. I'm trying to keep the vocabulary straight, but she was very instrumental in bringing up the thing, and she has some solutions to how we can get out of it. Also, so she was very instrumental in bringing that to the light. So she's a very dynamic sister. And if you ever get a chance to see her, please do, or look her up on YouTube or whatever. The sister's brilliant. And there could be a lot more to say, but I'm going to cut it off there.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to just go and give the absolute. I totally agree with that, right? And I'm just going to chime right in. You know, here's the issue, and Mr. Harris, you touched on it. You know, after even to this day, there is a certain level of discrimination, bias, a stress level that deals with the mental health of African Americans in this country, and we can go back, you know, hundreds of years, but the question that she raises is where and why, you know, where is the healing going to take place? How is that healing going to take place? And why isn't it being seen as something paramount, very important? You know, if you get a cut, you apply anesthesia or something and you put a Band-Aid, you know, for any type of illness, you know, you apply some kind of medicine or some type of treatment. And the whole question that she raised, well, not question, but the point that she raises is we have a whole society of African Americans who haven't been treated, who haven't been healed, who haven't had the opportunity to step up and to this day, we have African American men and women who suffer from some type of, and I'm gonna take it to mental illness, and it's systemic. Relating to the family and the things that we have gone through, right, that has not been treated. And you know, African-American men, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it, a lot of them don't want to seek out a therapist, don't want to seek out help. And because we have been taught to, you know, how would they say that? Toughen up, keep your chin up. You know, you got to be strong. Well, no, you have to be human. You have to be healed. And in order to be healed, you have to sometimes, in most cases, ask for help. Now, I know I went off on a tangent, but I'm fine.
Right.
And Ataya, have you ever heard of Dr. DeGruy, Joy DeGruy?
Yeah, I have heard of her, and what stuck out to me was her importance for theorization of, like, post-traumatic slave syndrome. And when Mr. Harris and Mr. Bay were talking, I feel I was writing some stuff down, and I said that she was, I guess, looking for, like, adaptive survival, you know, behaviors in African-American communities, and her research mainly focused on, like you were saying, racism and trauma and, you know, violence and, you know, slavery in the past. And I feel like she encouraged African-Americans to view, you know, their attitudes or their assumptions or even their behaviors through the lens of history, and, you know, not to repeat it and create something new for themselves. Just like you were saying how with some African-American men, they don't seek out therapists as much. And in her view, she wants us to look through history and figure out, you know, ways not to repeat it, figure out ways to help ourselves and, you know, be leaders or be people that, you know, express and change, you know, how they feel and make them stronger.
Okay. Ms. Garner, have you ever heard of Dr. DeGruy?
No, this is my first time ever hearing about her.
But and I definitely know the work. So,
okay. I'm sorry, what you
think? Yeah, what do you think? Yeah, well, I'm just going to ask, what do you think?
No, it's very powerful, and the work has to be documented because that's created data. Because a lot of things they look at, they always want to be data-driven. So the importance of her work is to show that the data does exist. So if there's data behind it, it's a scientific proof and fact that when certain situations happen, if you think about the CIA studies mind control, and they understand how to manipulate a mind and control people. So if you keep feeding us negative things about ourselves and not putting us in a positive life, they know that we won't be able to succeed. That's why it's very important to know history it kind of, I always go back to a sign sweet, you know, that, you know, he protected his family at the end of the day. And these are the things that we have to remember. We can't keep allowing, you know, certain entities to keep affecting us in a negative way. We have to speak up and speak out and be able to protect ourselves.
Okay. Thank you so much. You know, I want to say this is an educational learning program. And, you know, Brielle and Justin, you know, you are not expected to know all of this information. And if we, you know, your elders understand that you're just learning, right? So, you know, we want to be mindful and respectful of one another, right? And knowing that, you know, you two guys are the youngest people in the room. And so the question is, when you hear information like this, it's not so much what you know about it. It's more, and this is important, you know, like Brielle, let me come to you. Brielle, what do you think about John Henry Clark? Had you ever heard of him before? That's number one. And number two, what do you think about him?
Well, no, I haven't heard of him before. But when I was listening to the people, I heard that, you know, he gave speeches. And I think one of them, I'm trying my best to remember, that I think he said it doesn't matter. Like, a lot of people are proud about the history, like, of their past. So I think that he was a good person.
Okay.
So that's what I...
Okay. All right. And absolutely, he was a good person, right? And, you know, he believed in his people, okay? And he believed that African Americans needed to know and learn about their own history, right? You just presented us a segment on Dr. Joy DeGruy, and you just learned about it, right?
Yeah.
Brielle? And so from what you presented and from what you've heard so far, what do you think about her now?
So what I think about her now is what I think about her now, like after doing the research, I think that she was, I'm trying to think. I'm going to tell you what I heard, basically. So I don't know how to explain her really, but I think
go ahead.
I think since she was able to publish a book about post-traumatic slave syndrome and, you know, encourage Black people to view, you know, their attitudes through history, I think that she's a very important person.
Okay. But what I wanted to do is come in and save you on this one, because I can tell you that you're still processing the information that you've learned about her, right? And that's the key thing about yourself and Justin included. You know, it is not expected for you to have, in some instances, you might be able to process the information in a quick manner, and in others, sometimes you want to slow walk the process of understanding about another person and their work and contribution to the diaspora. So it's okay to say, you know what, I'm still processing, I'm still learning, you know, because that's the whole idea. Mr. Harris, come in and help me out here.
Sometimes whatever piques your interest, you know, as a lifelong learner, you know, which we all should try to be at least, you know, you need to go and find out more, do some research about it. And, you know, and every time you look for something new, you'll get another nugget of knowledge. And then eventually all those nuggets will turn into something golden that you could use later on. And it's important, you know, like with Dr. DeGroote, she has a lot of YouTube videos where she talks about post-traumatic slave syndrome. And even Dr. Clark, he has a documentary that was narrated and produced by Wesley Snipes called The Long and Mighty Walk. It's like a couple hours long, but it talks about our movement through history and how we kind of how we started one place and how we ended up where we are now. He talks about the positive and the negative things that we've done during that long and mighty walk. And it's important that we take the time to do the research, and the rest of it comes together after that.
Thank you, Mr. Harris, for jumping in there and helping out. And I just want to double down on Justin and Brielle. You know, it's a learning process, and it takes time. And still in the phrase, you know, we are all lifelong learners. And, you know, there are adults. We cover information that some adults don't even know about. Okay. And that is a fact. All right. And that's why Ms. Garner has suggested one time that I put together a pamphlet of information. Right. Okay, so we're going to take a music break, and we'll be right back, right? And right now, we're going to do some ego tripping.
I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built a Sphinx. I designed a pyramid so tough that a star that only glows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine, perfect light. I am bad. I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pain created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert. With a packet of goat's meat and a change of clothes, I crossed it in 2 hours. I am a gazelle, so swift, you can't catch me. For a birthday present when he was 3, I gave my son, Hannibal, an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. My strength flows ever on. My son, Noah, built new ark, and I stood proudly at the helm as we sailed on a soft summer day. I turned myself into myself and was Jesus. Men intoned my loving name. All praises, I am the one who would save. I sold diamonds in my backyard. My bowels delivered uranium. The filings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. On a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair from my head thinned and gold was laid across 3 continents. I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal. I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky.
All right, and we're back. I want to turn it back over to the real deal, Justin Hill. Justin, take it away. I know you have another segment for it.
Today, and it's now time for my next segment of definitions. And my definition segment is on African studies. And it was the first in a series of academic fields that would challenge social hierarchies and diversify the academy. Soon after African studies units appeared, ethnic studies and women's studies followed. That is, African studies was a scholarly innovation that seeded the soil for the growth of other temporary areas of knowledge production centered on identity, difference, and representation. And that is it for my segment of definitions. And I thank you guys for listening.
Okay. And I'm going to steal your phrase. Mr. Bay, play some music.
Yeah. Jigga Man. Leon. Nah, nah. Rap a pro.
Jigga what? Jigga who? Jigga what? Jigga who? Yo, get your flow, get your dough. Can't get with the box, but let's go. Get your flow.
Yeah, y'all cats wanna act logo, hit them up, numerous shots with the fofo. Cats wanna throw the fofo, smoke them like cocoa, not rap coke by the boatload. Watch that on the run by, gun high, one eye closed, left hose loose, some got closed. Stop your nonsense, block with the full clip. Y'all cats better duck when the full spit. One shot can make a player do a full flip. Seen a player laying shock with a full hit. I hate my high you, no cats wanna buy you. But see me, I wanna try for free, you heard me? The ride, make you feel it inside your belly. If it's high, get the KY jelly. All night, get you wide up beside, tell it side to side, so you can say J. Make you think you can flow with me. Recognize your J to the Z. Make you think you can flow with me. Recognize your J to the Z. Make you think you can flow with me. Recognize your J to the Z. Make you think you can flow with me. Got a condo with nothing but condoms in it. The same place with the rhymes in bed. So all I do is rap and set. Imagine how I stroke. See how I was flown on my last set. Rapping quiet like I'm blasting the test. Never jam though. Never get high. Never run out of ammo. Bro, I'm taking no J cause I J'd your babe. You know your favorite red. I know what they just said. Cause now you're packing raw. But you never had war. Don't know how to carry your bra. I wanna marry your bra. Now she's mad at me cause your majesty just happened to be a pimp. What a tragedy. She won us to end cause I touched her friend. She gave me one more chance and I touched her again. I seen the tears that she busted in. I said, mommy, this is a draft. Shut the door, please. Come on in.
Make
you think you can flow with me. Recognize your J to the Z.
Make
you think you can flow with me. Recognize your J to the Z.
Make
you think you can flow with me. Recognize your J to the Z.
Make
you think you can flow with me.
Recognize
your J to the Z. Got a vendetta, even though I've been better. Left him in the cold with a thin sweater. Rap, no pros that get the Bozak. With two with me, I do four back. Hold that, let the dough stack. Wait before Big Pat to go act. Game had the legs flat. In the test that, stress that. And right where you stress that, where you rest that. I suggest that. That's in the...
All right, the sounds of Jay-Z. I want you to lace up your sneakers and, you know, buckle up your shoes because it's time for What's Happening for Us, which is a compilation and a rendering of current events, programs, lectures, of the immediate and contemporary interest of the broader community and listening audience. It's designed to excite and inform each and every one of our listeners for participation. And that being said, I'd like to hand it over to our newest component to the team, and that's Kaya Diaz. Good morning. Take it away.
Good morning, everyone. This is Kaya Diaz with your entertainment report. So let me tell you, with the new year just around the corner, what a better way to get healthy and fit than with Serena Williams. Although she's no longer banging it out on the tennis court, you can find Miss Williams serving it up with her latest business venture, according to Griot Newsletter. Reportedly, Serena is poised to create her own line of pain relief and daily muscle care products that are eco-friendly and beneficial for your overall health and wellness. We see Serena still serving it up. And speaking of new ventures, according to People magazine, R&B singer Her, whose real name is Gabrielle Wilson, has been cast to play the role of Princess Belle in the upcoming Walt Disney's 30th anniversary celebration of Beauty and the Beast, which is set to air Thursday, December 15th. Singer Her will be the first Black and Filipino female to take on this role. She says playing the role helped her embrace her own femininity. You go, girl, and congrats to her. Finally, for all the basketball fans out there, speaking of bold moves, according to Washington Reuters, all eyes have been on WNBA star Brittany Griner as she finally returns home from being in jail for the last 10 months. This definitely is one Christmas holiday Brittany and her entire family will remember. Welcome home, Brittany, and indeed a Merry Christmas. And this is Kaya Diaz with your entertainment report.
and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Kaya, for that insightful what's happening for us. And I'd like to bring our student host, Brielle, back into the mix for another segment.
Welcome back, everybody, and it's Brielle, and I'm going to be doing my next diamond segment. This segment provides the listener with words and their meaning, so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. So the definition I have for you guys today is necessity is the mother of invention. And the definition of that is a need or problem that encourages creative efforts to meet the end or solve problems. This originates from ancient Greek dialogue. And this has something to do actually with Joy DeGruy, because she was able to encourage, like I said earlier, she was able to encourage Black people to view their attitudes through history. And the research, the source that I got this information was dictionary.com. And again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my segment.
Okay, so you have another segment?
Yes.
Take it away.
Okay, so my next segment is on T.J. Marshall. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. So what I would like to start off on first is what was significant about him. So what's significant about him was how he was able to improve the design of fire extinguisher sprinklers. He was born on June 29, 1844, in Pennsylvania, and moved to Linn County with his parents settling near Viola. When he was an adult, he was credited for improving the design for fire extinguishers. Although he invented a system where water is pumped through the pipes and becomes individual sprinklers once it comes out. Although he was patented in 1872, March 26, and began its use in 1874. It was commonly used for large factories for putting out fires. These systems can also control a fire before the fire department arrives. Improving the design of fire extinguishers, he created all sizes of fire extinguisher sprinklers for buildings that are small or buildings that are tall. And again, I would like to say what was significant about him. So what was significant about him was how he was able to improve the design of fire extinguisher sprinklers. Again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my segment on C.J. Marshall.
Okay, so do you think that necessity is the mother of invention? Do you think that applies to him as well?
Yes, because he was able to make the fire extinguishers more useful. Just in case, like, for an example, like, if there was a fire in a building and the fire department wasn't able to come, like, right away, because they were still at least a couple minutes away and it's getting worse, the fire extinguisher sprinklers were able to help out and control the fire, my opinion on it.
Okay. I want to hand it back over to our student moderator, Justin Hill. Justin, take it away.
I would like to ask Mr. Harris, what have you learned about Brielle's segment?
Well, Brielle's segment, you know, was really kind of important, and when she was talking about the necessity being the mother of invention, you know, because like just she actually brought up what I was going to say, that sometimes the fire department doesn't come to the house on time. That was really almost a regular thing when it came to people in the Black community. You know, if they knew the house was burning in the hood, they didn't really rush as fast as they did the other houses. So those individual fire extinguishers was very helpful for keeping a lot of people's stuff from burning up and for people being killed. You know, and it's good that we you know, because it was already fire extinguishers before that, you know, so he just made it, he just took it, that idea, to another level. So that's what invention does. It was a need, and he figured it out, and we're still here. We're using it today. I got one in my kitchen as we speak.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. And I'm going to go to Ms. Garner and ask her the same question. What have you learned about your segment?
Well, I learned a lot from everything. It was very interesting. I didn't know that we actually created the sprinkler system. It seems like we created a lot of things, so it makes you think, why aren't we as wealthy as we should be? Just imagine all the families that receive royalties from everything that has been built across America. I think that's very deep, and that's something to really look into, and it's very inspiring.
Thank you, Ms. Garner. And it is now time that we have to wrap up the show. And make sure you check out our next show on 89.5 FM from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. And Questions Radio is the best radio.
The best radio.